Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen. The text today is written in 1 Corinthians in the 8th chapter. We read there verses 1 to 13. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world and that there is no God but one. But even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as being sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God, and we are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. And if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, your fellow redeemed, today we continue our spiritual journey into the season of Epiphany, that season of the church year when our attention is drawn to scriptures that reveal Jesus as the Son of God, our blessed Savior. And over the past Epiphany weeks, we've heard such scripture stories as the Magi, where Jesus was manifested as the King and Savior of all peoples, both Jews and Gentiles. We saw Jesus reveal himself as God's Son, the King of Israel, to the disciple Nathanael when Jesus disclosed to him his omniscience by telling him how he saw Nathanael under the fig tree. Today's gospel, Mark's account of Jesus curing a demon-possessed man, Jesus revealed his power and glory as our Savior most magnificently. And today, we'll see how Jesus reveals himself to us in his Savior glory as the one who came to free us, who were held captive in Satan's prison house by freeing us to be his servants now and forever. So I invite you to consider with me this morning this grand paradox and the meaning that it has for our lives as Christians. We are free servants of Jesus, who understand and rejoice in our Christian liberty with which Christ has set us free, and who also gladly restrict our freedom when Christian love requires it. Text is drawn from Paul's first inspired epistle to the Corinthians. As you're probably aware, Paul had founded a church there on his second missionary journey, serving as its very first pastor. By the way, if you want to read all about that founding of the congregation at Corinth, you can read it in Acts chapter 18. It was sometime later, after Paul had departed from Corinth, that there were some congregational members who wrote Paul a letter requesting him to give them advice on a question that they had, a spiritual question. They were wondering, is it good? Is it right? Is it God-pleasing to buy meat that was put up for sale at the local market, a portion of which had been offered as a sacrifice at a pagan temple? You know, Corinth was one of those worldly cities of that time, chocked full of idol gods and idol temples to the glory of Zeus and Apollo and Aphrodite and so forth. And the priests at these temples would take some of the meat of an animal sacrifice and use it as an offering to that idol. Some was eaten at a sacrificial meal, and then there was also a portion of the meat that was put up for sale at the local meat market and sold to the general public. And so these Corinthian Christians weren't sure what Jesus wanted them to do in that situation. Can we purchase meat from such a market without compromising our Christian faith? Paul, could you please lend guidance in the matter? Is it okay for us to do that, or would it involve us in the practice of idolatry? In our text, Paul undertook to answer their question, seeking to share good and godly advice. He wrote to them and said, you know, in this spiritually dark world we live in, there are so many gods, so-called, and many people who in the darkness of their unbelief devote themselves to worshiping these imaginary gods. For us Christians, there's just one God, God the Father, who sent His Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, to liberate us from the shackles of sin and chains of unbelief, rescuing us from the thraldom of the cruel taskmaster of souls, Satan. So there's no reason for you as a believer in the one true God to be concerned about meat sacrifices offered to fake gods, imaginary gods. It falls into the category of things that God has not said thou shalt or thou shalt not. It's right or it's wrong. And so if you want to buy meat offered up for sale at the meat market, that's permissible. But if it bothers you because you know where it came from, then don't do it. Let your conscience be your guide. Are you wondering, Pastor, what's this got to do with we Christians living today in 21st century America? What application do Paul's words, given so long ago to Christians who lived back then, have for our lives in the year 2021? Well, first, they can serve again as a wonderful reminder about the wonderful spiritual freedom we've been given in Jesus, how He came from heaven into our world, as mentioned, to set us free from the guilt of our sins, from the punishment of death, and from slavery to Satan. What Jesus said in the Nazareth synagogue towards the outset of His ministry have wonderful application to each of us today. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Through faith in our Epiphany Savior, we indeed have become the emancipated children of the one true living God, purchased to be His at the price of the blood of His Son shed on the cross. Then also, these words of Paul teach us that as God's liberated children in Christ, we are free in all things our God has not said anything to us about in His Word, to to do them or not. Sometimes we refer to those, the fancy word is adiaphora. Makes no difference whether they're done or not. It's not a sin or not a sin. A couple examples might be it's permissible for us, at least adults, to enjoy a glass of wine with our dinner. And it's also perfectly okay to refrain from wine in our lives, if alcoholic beverages. I know some people like that. Perhaps you do too. But they don't call it a sin if you do. It's okay to choose Sunday as our worship day rather than another day. We could pick Saturday or Wednesday, as we will during Lent. We may eat pork roast for supper or fish or no meat at all. We may administer holy baptism with a lot of water by immersion. We could have a big basin or bathtub up here for baptisms. Or, much more practical, of course, in our case, to have a baptismal font and sprinkle just a little bit of water three times on a baby's head in the name of the triune God. These are examples of the freedom of the gospel that's ours as New Testament Christians in matters concerning which the Lord has not said anything in His Word. We're free to do them or not do them. The overarching principle that applies in all these cases is whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And that leads us into the next thought of our sermon. The Apostle Paul, and this was one of the main thoughts, it kind of addresses the question that those Corinthians had also in particular, that there may be times when we'll want to restrict the freedom that we have as Christians in matters of adiaphora when Christian love requires it. Paul's instructions to the Corinthian Christians was that, you know, it could be that you are well-versed in the Bible. You have a good understanding of Scripture truth. Your faith in the Lord has been well grounded. You know that an idol god is nothing, and that meat offered for sale at the meat market's just meat, food for the stomach. Not eating it will not bring you closer to God. Eating it will not make you more distant from God. You've learned to know that. But it may be that not all members of your congregation there in Corinth do, who still have some gaps in their spiritual understanding and the application of Scripture truth to their lives as Christians. They still think maybe that it's a wrong thing to eat meat offered to an idol. And if they watch you do that, they may be led to do that too, even though they, in their hearts, think that it's wrong, and in doing so, their weak conscience is wounded. And so the loving thing to do in such an instance is to refrain from your liberty in deference to your fellow Christians, to allow some time for them to receive proper instruction in matters of adiaphora, and to become more deeply grounded in Scripture truth. One example of this I might share with you from Luther's day. In the early days of the Reformation, there were many who had grown up believing because they had been taught it all through their lives in the Catholic Church, was that in the Lord's Supper, you can receive the Lord's Supper with only the bread. Only priests are allowed to receive the wine. There were some colleagues of Luther who tried to push through quickly the practice in their churches of administering communion in both kinds, bread and wine, before their parishioners had been instructed about that. That it's okay for lay people to receive wine along with the bread. And Luther's advice to his colleagues was, continue for a while to just administer the bread until all those in your congregation have received proper instruction about this. Again, you may wonder, Pastor, is there application here for our lives as 21st century disciples? The answer again is yes. The Holy Spirit, through these words of Paul, is teaching us that when it comes to actions which in and of themselves are matters of indifference, doesn't really matter, or standing with God one way or the other is not affected, there's no right or wrong, there still may be times when we'll want to refrain from doing them anyway out of love for the weak. A couple examples of this, modern examples might be, oh, it might be an occasion when you might want to not put wine on the dinner table to your invited guests to enjoy because you know one of them is struggling with a drinking problem, even though you know it's okay to have wine. Or maybe a Baptist friend who thinks it's totally wrong to have any kind of alcohol, and they haven't been able to be instructed about that yet, probably refrain from having beer as part of the gathering. Or, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they teach that it's sinful to eat any pork products. Maybe you might have a friend invited for lunch, hasn't been instructed about our freedom as New Testament Christians to eat any kind of meat, even Spam. That would be the loving course of action to, in this instance, restrict our freedom and have another kind of meat as the main menu item till our friend has had a chance to look into the scriptures and see what the Lord says about that. So you can see as we conduct ourselves from day to day as Christians in our family life, in our congregational life, and in our social life, the Lord wants us to always be conscious of what effect our actions may have on others, especially those new to the faith. And we want to do what we can in love to help others to grow in their faith, to help them grow in their understanding of the scriptures, and to help them to walk closer with the Lord Jesus, the Savior of us all. It happened back in the year 2005. An NFL quarterback was being interviewed by a sports reporter. And during the interview, he was asked to explain his decision to ride his motorcycle without a helmet. "I don't wear a helmet because I don't have to," he said. "It's not the law in the state where he was living. I just feel more free out there on the highway driving without a helmet." It was a year later that he got into a bad accident. The driver of a minivan failed to yield at an intersection, and the motorcyclist quarterback was thrown off his cycle right into that van's windshield. Emergency surgeons spent 7 hours repairing his broken jaw, fractured skull, and other facial injuries. Many days later, after being released from the hospital, he offered an apology to his family members, to his teammates, and to his fans for putting his health at risk and for setting for others a poor example. "You know, I've gained a whole new perspective," he said. "By God's grace, I'm fortunate to be alive, and from now on, when I ride a motorcycle, I'm going to wear a helmet." The name of the quarterback is Ben Roethlisberger. He's still playing football today. He came to realize how he had the freedom to ride his bike without a helmet because it wasn't the law, and yet voluntarily he gave up his freedom out of concern for the welfare of others. Well, praise be to God, dear friends, that he sent Jesus to obtain for us that freedom from our sins, that we might be his children now and forever, freedom from death and from the thraldom of Satan. And praise him also for blessing us through the Word with wisdom and insight that leads us to restrict our freedom in matters of adiaphora when Christian love requires it, so that we might serve others in love for their spiritual welfare and for the praise and glory of our God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.